I love having the kids inside big church. We don't get them in here very often. It's good to see all these kids. And you know what, kids? You guys have been so good trying to stay quiet. I'm sure mom and dad have been shushing you the whole time. But you know what? You need to let some of that energy out. So now's the time. Kids, what is tomorrow? Okay, what I want you to do is I want you to wish everybody here a Merry Christmas. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to say Merry Christmas as loud as you can, okay? Are you ready? On three, one, two, three. That was pretty good. That, you feel better now, don't you? Yeah. It was killing you. Yesterday, I introduced you to two of the principal people in the Christmas story, Joseph and Mary, and I want to introduce to you two more people groups tonight. And the first one is the shepherds who were just outside Jerusalem, and while they were there, an angel of the Lord came to them and says, "Behold, today a Savior is born to you." In fact, Luke puts it this way in chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began to say to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured, that's important, she treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had just heard and seen, just as they had been told. What a scene, these shepherds. Out there just watching over the flock, and all of a sudden, here comes an angel and pronounces, "Behold, a Savior is born for you today in the city of David, Bethlehem." And this angel had no more pronounced that, and then all of a sudden, the sky lit up, I imagine, with angels going back and forth, and glory to God in the highest, peace on earth among men. And these shepherds had to be just saying, "Whoa, we just ate some bad mushrooms or whatever we ate, something." But once it occurred to them, no, this is really happening here, they said, "Hey, we have to go." And they proceeded to make their way over to Joseph and Mary and Jesus in the manger in Bethlehem. And for years I wondered, why shepherds? Why was it so important that the Lord made known to shepherds? Why did they need to know? And I just couldn't figure it out. And then as I was praying concerning this year's Christmas messages, I said, maybe it wasn't about the shepherds at all. Maybe it was more about Joseph and Mary. Years ago, Vicki got a phone call early in the morning from her Aunt Stella, and she was crying, could hardly understand her through the sobs, and she said that Uncle Jack is dead. Vicki's Uncle Jack, married to Vicki's aunt, her mom's sister. What in the world happened? Suddenly he had died in the middle of the night, and so all the family rushed over there, and later in the day we were speaking with Stella and spending some time with her, and she recounted that morning, and she said that she woke up roughly around 6 o'clock in the morning and leaned over and realized that Jack was gone. And just as you imagine, when you wake up, you're kind of fuzzy anyway, and she rushed out of the house, not knowing what to do, and just full-blown panic mode, and just rushed out and just didn't know what to do. And she says all of a sudden she looked up, and there again, 6 in the morning, saw she described him as a young man walking down the street, had a red plaid shirt on, and came up and said, "Ma'am," he said, "it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Go inside the house, call 911, and then wait on the porch. It's going to be okay, ma'am." So Stella went back in and did that. And she was telling this story, and I said, "Stella," I said, "I got to ask you a question. What color eyes did he have?" She kind of looked at me kind of odd. Well, what had happened is the previous week, Vicki and I, we weren't on staff yet. I was still playing baseball. Pastor Ron was talking about a book that was out that talked about angels. And it says one of the common things they found about angels, again, this is just from the book. This isn't Pastor Doug, you know, don't I'm not endorsing this. I'm just telling you what the book said. But in this book, it said that angels, one of the common things is they have these piercing dark blue eyes. Just these piercing eyes. And I said, Stella, what color were his eyes? And he goes, they were so weird. They were just like bright blue eyes. And I said, and it gave me chills, went up in the back of my neck when I heard that. And I said, Stella, I said, there's a possibility, even a good chance, that that was an angel. And I was able to explain to her what angels did. Came and comforted. And she said, well, that would make sense because I was only in the house long enough to make a phone call and came back out in the porch like he said, and I was going to thank him. And I came back out and he was gone. I hadn't seen him before that day, and I hadn't seen him afterwards. 6 o'clock in the morning. Was it an angel? Quite possibly it could be. See, that angel came to bring consolation to Vicky's Aunt Stella. And I just can't help but wonder if the shepherds were told about the Savior. They were told to go there and tell Joseph and Mary, saying, hey, this just happened to us. We've got to tell you. And you say, why was it important for Joseph and Mary to come and have the shepherds relay what they saw? Quite possibly, you have this young couple, again, as I said yesterday, they were probably anywhere from 16 to 17 years old, away from home, 4 days' journey away from home, on a trip to take a census, had a baby, and now all of a sudden they're down there and the newness of the baby has worn off, and now they're wondering, what are we going to do here? And postpartum kicks in, and loneliness kicks in, and living in a barn kicks in, and all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh. What we were so sure of 9 months ago when the angel came and said, Mary, what's inside of you can see by the Holy Spirit, and Joseph, don't send her away. This is of the Lord. We were so sure that God was in this pregnancy and in this birth, but now we're not so sure. We're tired. We're lonely. We're down. We're uncertain about the future. And quite possibly God says, I got to give these young kids a little encouragement. I've got to remind them that, hey, I know things are tough, but you're right smack dab in the middle of my will for your life and the plan that I have. And these shepherds came and revealed that. And I imagine Joseph and Mary thinking, okay, God, thank you. You're still with us. Thank you, Lord. We're where we're supposed to be. I just wonder if that's why the shepherds were told that. And then I love the story of the Magi. These mysterious men who brought gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. Commonly referred to as the three wise men. Matthew chapter 2 talks of them. Verse 1, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east. Now who are the Magi? Well, they were astrologers. They were people who studied the stars. And they were big into astronomy. They thought that future events and current events could be revealed by the stars. And they arrived from the east in Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Three kings. We three kings of Orient are. We sing that song, right? I looked through the Bible and said, I want to find out where it talks about these three kings. And as I looked through the Bible, I discovered something. It's not mentioned. Three kings aren't mentioned. It says Magi. Doesn't say how many Magi. It just says Magi. I did a little research on it and found out that nobody knows. Nobody knows how many people came. How many astrologers, how many of the Magi came. I took a look at one guy's investigation, a Christian millionaire by the name of Peter J. Daniels. He did some research and looked at some ancient Persian writings. Many people believe this Magi came from Persia, east of Jerusalem there. And he says that in these writings, he says, quite possibly over 300 Magi and kings came. And their estimated worth of what they would brought, gifts, would have equaled in today's currency $4 million, what they brought with them. Now, that makes sense to me, especially when you take a look at, it says that Herod, when Herod heard this, he was shaken, and everyone else around him was troubled. I'm thinking, man, you guys are all freaked out over three little astrologer people? You know, why did these guys put the fear of God into you? Well, maybe three didn't, but if 300 people came, and these were powerful people, all of a sudden Herod would say, hey, now I'm getting a little bit nervous. Now this kind of puts the fear of God into me here. What is going on with this little baby? And that's when he basically issues the contract on Jesus. Any two-year-olds, you know, kill him. That makes sense to me. Why did they bring whatever money it was? We don't know how many magi. We don't know how much money they brought. But obviously, if you bring gold and those two fragrances that were very expensive, why did they bring those to Joseph and Mary and to present to Jesus? I don't know, but let me give you a suggestion. I can relate to it. When I was finishing up my professional baseball career, I was offered the opportunity to finish up in Japan, and I'd pretty much washed out here in the States and really wasn't going anywhere at the end of my career, and they dangled a nice contract, you know, close to $250,000 for 2 years. I said, you know what, hey, why not? And so I went to Japan and played over there. Played 1 year, but got paid for two. My first year didn't spend a dime of my salary because I was living on meal money and I was living on performance bonuses. And so we had a bunch of money in the bank, and they let me go after the first year, and Pastor Ron offered me a job to go on staff, and I was sick of being on the bus with a bunch of other guys. I wanted to sleep. Only bed I wanted to sleep in was bed with my wife. I started having a roommate, and I just wanted to get home. And so I got out of baseball, went on staff, and Pastor Ron says, hey, I'd like to have you come on staff, but the church doesn't have a whole lot of money. He says, here's what I can offer. He goes, I'm really sorry. And I pulled him aside and said, Pastor Ron, I said, I need to let you know something. I'm set for life. And I really thought, I said, I'm set for life. I said, shh, don't tell anybody, but I'm set. I got a bunch of money from Japan. I'm set for life. He kind of looked at me fun. Okay, well, that's great. Well, when you're 27 and you don't realize how expensive it is to raise two kids and have a mortgage, that set for life lasted about 4 years. When the kids got old enough and we were just about out of money, thinking there's no way we can live. I couldn't live on the salary they gave me. We were dipping into my baseball money regularly. And well, about the fourth or fifth year, finally when it was just getting to the point where we were out, Pastor Ron went to Vicky and said, hey, I'd like to have you come on staff and be the Christian education director. I said, she'll take it. Yeah, I'm going to have to talk to her. She'll take it. We need the money. Just when we were out of money, God provided opportunity. I needed that money. There's no way we could have gone on staff had I not had a bankroll. I believe that's what God did for Joseph and Mary. Because remember, as we learned yesterday, not only were they having a baby 4 days away from home, but they weren't going back home anytime soon. Remember, they had the dream Joseph did in the middle of the night. The angel says, go down to Egypt. Herod is trying to destroy the child. Go down there until he dies. And they went straight from Bethlehem, another I don't know how many miles down to Egypt, and lived there 2 full years. Now Joseph's got a wife and he's got a baby. How are you going to work? How did they get by down there? Well, I want to suggest to you they got by on what the Magi brought them. They went down there and lived off the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. That's how they made it. And see, that just so resonates with me because of my story. That so is like God to give us what we need before we even need it. Oftentimes, I've heard that God is rarely early, but he's never late. In this case, he was early. This story, these two people I introduced to you, remind me of a couple of things. One is that God is with us in our trials. He's with us. It's hard sometimes to believe that, especially when the trial gets longer, when you get tired, when you get discouraged, when you get lonely, when God at one time seems so close at the beginning of the trial, but now as you're in the middle of it. It seems like God is a million miles away. You pray, you don't hear anything. It's so tempting to think that that you're alone, that you've made a mistake oftentimes. And I'm sure this young couple probably thought, man, did we make a mistake? Did we hear God right? Are we out of God's will? And God sent these shepherds just to say, no, you're right where you're supposed to be. And then the Magi reminds me is that when we need provision, when we need money, when we need friends, when we need a job, when we need help, God has already got some things working for us. We just have to wait for it. I've heard people over the years thinking, you know what, I've been praying, and nothing's happening yet. I said, hold on. God's talking to some Magi I wrote over here, okay? He's talking to some people here. Just wait. He's getting things in place. He's getting things arranged. When it's time for him to bring it to you, he'll bring it to you. It's not time yet. He's getting it together. You just wait on God. Oh, it's hard. I just wait. It'll be good. He's got to move this thing around and move these things around. It's coming. Hang in there. And if we'll hang in there, it will come. We have to believe that. He's able to do that. This year, as you sit around tomorrow and open gifts and even beyond tomorrow into the new year, when you're in the middle of a trial, remember what God did for Joseph and Mary, how he provided for them, how he revealed to them, I am with you, I haven't left you, I'm there with you, we'll get through this thing together. Trust me, believe in me, hold on, resource provision is coming. Let's pray. Father, I pray for, Lord, the folks that are here. And Lord, may we remember this Christmas season that you're the God who doesn't take us out of trials, but you're the God who comes into our trials. You're the fourth man in the fire. You're the God who shuts the mouths of lions in the pit. And you're the God that comes to us when we need to know that you're with us, and you'll just give us little fist bumps and say, I'm here with you, hold on. And you're the God, Lord, when we're getting right down to the wire, rent's due, the check's in the mail, you're the God that will come through in ways that we can't even imagine, God. Let us just hold on to that truth this year and into the next year. In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask. Amen.